The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today again about the love of the world. I quoted John 3:16 for you yesterday, telling how much God loved the world. Well, when that verse uses the word world, I think it means the people in the world. In the scripture, there are two things meant by the expression the world. The first is all that is temporal, all that is not lasting, in other words. And the second is those who are occupied with the temporal. The first refers to things, and the second to people. In John 6:25, we read a story of how Jesus was sought out by a big crowd in the place where he had fed the 5,000. In verse 25, we read, "They found him on the other side. 'Rabbi,' they said, 'when did you come here?' Jesus replied, 'In very truth, I know that you have not come looking for me because you saw signs, but because you ate the bread and your hunger was satisfied. You must work not for this perishable food, but for the food that lasts, the food of eternal life.'" So right there you see Jesus putting his finger on the difference between perishable food, the kind that we all have to eat in order to live and have to work hard in order to buy, and the food that lasts, the food of eternal life. He puts his finger on worldly-mindedness. He says, you must work not for this perishable food, but for the food that lasts. Now, I don't think Jesus is telling us that it's a sin to work for our living. I'm sure he's not, because the Bible makes that very clear in many other places. We have to live, we have to work for a living, and it's a sin not to work and not to support ourselves, if that's at all possible. But worldly-mindedness is nearsighted, interested only in instant gratification and temporal pleasures. And the word signs in the book of John is a very common word. It would be interesting for you, if you'd like a suggestion about a Bible study, take the Gospel of John and note how many times the word signs is used. These were revelations of who Jesus was. And he says, "This food the Son of Man will give you, for he it is upon whom God the Father has set the seal of his authority." This food, meaning the food that lasts for eternity, eternal life, the Son of Man will give you. For he it is upon whom God the Father has set the seal of his authority. So then these people said, well, then what must we do if we are to work as God would have us work? And Jesus' reply is a very interesting one. They have said, what must we do? And he says, this is the work that God requires: believe in the one whom he has sent. Faith, belief, not overt action, is the thing that it takes in order to have the eternal life that Jesus is talking about. They didn't see that Jesus was the one who could give them eternal life. They had seen him as a free lunch, and who wouldn't want all that they could get out of that sort of thing? Jesus says that they come after him not because they want the words and the eternal life that he wants to give them, but because they got loaves and fishes. And we're all pretty much like that, aren't we? Very bound by temporal things, very stuck on visible things, tangible things, things that we can enjoy in a temporal and physical sense. Now, here's the contrast in verses 26 and 27 of John 6, the ones I've just read, between worldliness and otherworldliness. Worldliness is perishable. Otherworldliness, imperishable. This world is headed for death. The other world is life. It's life with a capital L. Jesus is offering to these people who have followed him life. And he offers life to you and me today. He will give it. Do you realize that? I hope so. I hope you realize that eternal life is a gift from God. It's a gift that he offers to you that you can't work for. When they said, "What must we do?" he said, "This is the work that God requires. Believe in the one whom he has sent." Who is the one whom he has sent? Jesus. He wants to give you eternal life. The question shows that the people have still got their minds on earthly things. What must we do if we're to work the work of God? Always this notion of working your way up to heaven. Good little boys and girls go to heaven, bad little boys and girls go to hell. Is that what the Bible says? Well, it's not. That's not what the Bible says. Some of you might think that that's what it says, but if you can show me, I'd be certainly very interested, because the way to heaven is not being good. Can you be good? For how long? Have you tried? How hard? Well, I've tried for many years, and I've tried hard, but I know that I cannot be good by myself. I hope that I'm doing a little bit better than I was many years ago, because we should be growing in grace, but there's that key word, grace, right there. I need the help of God. And in the verse that I read at the beginning of the program, it's the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. But what you and I have to do is to be willing to follow him. Get our minds off earthly things. Now, who is this Jesus? He is the one whom God has sent. He is the final revelation of God's eternal being, made visible and tangible at last in the form of a man, a Jew from a little town called Nazareth, a traveling rabbi. He is God. Christians believe that Jesus is God. There are three persons in the Godhead called the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. The question comes to you and me today: will I believe in him, as he told the crowd they must do, or will I treat him as any other rabbi? So often we hear people say, "Well, you know, I don't really believe that Jesus was God, but he was a great prophet. He was a great teacher." Jesus did not leave that option open to us. He himself declared that he was one with the Father, and it was that that infuriated the Jewish rabbis and scribes and Pharisees. And as C.S. Lewis points out, when you study the life of Jesus, you have to come to the conclusion that either he was crazy, which doesn't fit the picture that the gospel paints, or he was a liar, that certainly doesn't fit that picture either, or he was who he said he was. Will you believe in him? Can you see what God is showing you, or can you see only what you want to get out of him? Let's stop right here and try to apply these few lines to our own situation. We live in this world. We have to live, and somehow to make a living. We are concerned about money, food, clothes, cars, orthodontists, school books, cellular phones, who's going to take out the garbage, recycle. But is this all there is? Does anything matter more to you than the visible things? Well, of course, all of you would say love and happiness. Those are not tangible things. They matter more. Well, I'm telling you about one who is love, the one who alone can give happiness. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, lover of souls, lover of the world, the one whom we must follow, the one who asks us simply to believe in him, to trust him, to come to him, not to be like these people who were after him only for what they could get out of him, health, wealth, prosperity, bread, fish, but the eternal life that he came to give. That's what he came for, to give us life, and to give us life beyond anything that this world can possibly offer. And I'm just one of millions who can testify that I have found more joy in following Jesus than in any kind of wealth. May God help you to receive him.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.